Okay, we want to begin with a prayer like we always do. So does anybody have anything we need to be praying about in particular this morning? Anything we're unaware of or anything you're concerned about? Yeah, we always need to do that, that's for sure. Okay, if you would, please, let's bow and we'll begin with a prayer. Holy Father, it's good to be here again this morning. We're grateful for such a beautiful day today. We're thankful for the day that we enjoyed yesterday and the activities we had here that we could share with the community. And we ask and pray that you would be with us now as we take this time to open up your word and study from it. We pray that we will glean things this morning that will help us to live better lives and to be more faithful to you. We thank you so much for your church here at West Main and at South Main, and just pray that you would continue to bless us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit dwelling within each and every one of us. And we're talking about maturing in the faith. And we said one of the signs of maturity in faith is the fact that God's Spirit does live within us. That's His guarantee. That's His sign to us that we are baptized believers in Christ. Okay. Now, here's the catch to that sometimes, is because we're always looking for something that we can see or hear or feel that lets us know that something is true. Well, the Spirit is not something tangible, okay? It's not something that we can see or taste or hear. It's just that we evidence His actions in our lives by when we try to follow God's Word, He assists us in doing that. So that's what we talked about last week. So that's our guarantee, that we have a home with God in heaven. So we want to move on with that a little bit today. And I want to take one step further here. And what we want to talk about today in our steps of maturity is the question that we ask ourselves over and over again. And it's not bad to ask ourselves this question, but we need to know the answer to that question. And I think we do, but we need to be positive about it. And that is, how can I know that I am saved? Okay. How can I know, God is pleased with my life and He's going to accept me the way I am? Okay. We're going to look at some passages today that talk about that. And I want to start, first of all, in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And then we'll read a couple more passages here also. So Romans chapter 8, we'll start reading in about verse 31. All right, now these are passages that assure us that we can know that we have salvation. All right, Paul speaking here. He says, "What then shall I say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall I not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword, or peril? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the pasture. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, do you get any kind of comfort from that? Does that help you to understand that as far as worldly things are concerned, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from God? Now, I want you to think about that now, because it is possible to be separated from God. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But as far as you're concerned, the only thing that can separate you from God is what? You. Okay. When you give in to the devil, okay, he can tempt you all he wants, but it's still your decision whether you give in to those things, okay? So you make that ultimate decision. You're the only thing that can get in the way, okay? Another quick passage, just someone read this one for me. It's over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Chapter 1 and verse 12. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. Yes.
For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day.
Okay, that's Paul speaking to Timothy there. And say, I'm persuaded, I know that he will keep all those things until that day. So these are some passages of assurance. Okay, and we'll read some more as we go along. Now, when we think along this line and we think about the lives that we live, we'll come here and we'll sit in this assembly and we'll sing songs like When I Get to Heaven, you know, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, you know, and I'm bound for the promised land and all those things. And then we'll go away doubting, you know, and we think to ourselves, you know, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Am I really saved? You know, am I really going to make it to heaven? And you get all kinds of answers when you ask people that question. And like I said, we'll talk about some of that here in a minute. But what I want you to go away from here today knowing, and I hope you already know this without having to tell you, is the fact that you need to understand that you can definitely know without a question of a doubt that you are a saved individual on your way to heaven. Okay? And we're going to look at some ways that we can know that here as we go along. And not only can we know that, but it is important that you know that because that helps us in our war against Satan. When we have the confidence that Satan can't do anything against us, you know, that because we belong to God, we are children of God, then that gives us confidence when trials and temptations come up to be able to withstand those things. And so we need that confidence in our lives in order to better withstand the devil. Okay. So people who don't fully understand this and maybe question themselves, they seem to be in a spiritual agony sometimes, not really knowing where they're going. All right, one more passage. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. So someone read that for me, please. You in 1 John? 13. Missed it by that much. Okay. All right. So what is John saying here? I'm writing these things to you, and he's writing to Christians. For what reason? So that you can know. Okay. So it is possible for us to know. Now, John was writing this to Christians in the first century. Here we are 21 centuries later, you know, and they still apply to us just as much as they did to those people back then. You can definitely know that you have salvation. Okay. And not only can we know it, but it's important for us to understand that and have that in our arsenal that we can use against the wiles of Satan. Okay. All right. So how can I know that I'm saved? All right. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Okay. There's usually about three things that people will say to you if you ask them the question, you know, how can you know or do you know that you are saved? Okay. And one of those answers that we would get would be, well, you really won't know until the day of judgment. Okay? God knows everything. God is the judge. And on that day, God's going to make the separation, and then you'll know. Okay? Can you live that way? That's what I'm trying to say. But there are people that say you don't know. Okay? And I don't know how someone can live their lives in that way, not knowing. Because if you've done what God told you to do, okay? And we think about that when we started this class in the first week that we started talking about this. We talked about the things that we do in order to make the blood of Jesus available to us. Okay? We were living this type of life. We heard the gospel preached. We believed what we heard. We repented of our sins, we were baptized, and God added us to His church, okay? So that should give us some assurance right there. Right at that point in time, we should have known right then, you know, that we were saved believers going to heaven, okay? But, okay, as we go along, you know, what about after that time? Are there things that I can do or maybe things that I, associate with that would keep me from receiving that what I had on that day? And so that's why people will tell us, well, you really can't know. There's no way of knowing, you know, until we get to heaven. And then God will let us all know on that great day, okay? Well, I couldn't live that way, you know, because I want to know now. And so if I follow what God tells me to do, I think we have that assurance, okay? Now, a second thing that people might say to us is, well, I just feel it in my heart. Okay, you ever heard anybody say that? I just know in my heart. You know, that I'm going to heaven. What's wrong with that attitude? What's wrong with that? Yeah, it's based upon feelings and not upon fact. Okay. Now, Solomon tells us over in Proverbs, I forget exactly where it goes, 17, somewhere over in there. He says, what did he say over there? The heart is not... Yeah, things are not accurate. They'll mislead you. I'll tell you what. I got it written down. Let's read it. Let me go back here and find it. I can't remember all these passages, but Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Okay, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. I was only off by three chapters. What does it say? Okay. And I think it's over in Jeremiah about verse chapter 17, somewhere over there, where he says over there, the heart is deceitful and wicked, and who can understand it? Okay. So what I'm saying is we might, even in our conscience, feel that we're okay. You know, I can say, I just feel it in my heart. You know, we'll hear people say that, oh, God's not going to send anybody to hell. He's too loving a God to do that. Well, what are we basing that on? We're basing it on our feelings. And Solomon's telling us there, yeah, that's not a wise decision because your feelings... Your emotions will misguide you, okay? And I'm not saying we shouldn't have good feelings. I'm just saying that don't depend on them. So what do we depend on? If we can't depend on our emotions, what do we depend on? Truth, knowledge, facts. That's what we got to depend on, okay? And so don't trust in just feelings. I shouldn't say this, but it really doesn't pertain to our class. I was selected to serve on a jury one time, and the guy was accused of having robbed a convenience store. During the deliberation, there was a little lady, and it's just the sweetest little lady you ever want to see. But she was one of maybe two that voted not to convict this guy, even though all the evidence showed that he was guilty. And so we asked, I said, why? What's wrong? What do you see? What can we help you understand? And she said, it doesn't have anything to do. She said, I just can't in my heart send somebody to jail. And I'm sitting there going, oh, wait a minute, you know. Well, let's let him back out on the street. Maybe it'll be your daughter next time, you know. And then she thought, oh, you know. But I'm saying is your heart will mislead you, you know. You need to base it on facts. All right. Okay. There's a third answer that we can get, and that's the one we want to deal with today. And that is the fact that the Scriptures teach us that you can know if you have salvation. Okay, let's read some more passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, I'm going to start reading in about verse 16, and I'm going to read several passages. We're going to go down into chapter 5 there. Here's what it says. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Is that the one I'm on? Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I knew that didn't sound right. I can read writing, I just can't write reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. Now, what did I say we were starting? Verse 16? 16. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. There's that Spirit we talked about last week. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, or rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in Christ, that are done in the body, according to what He has done, whether good or bad. So Paul says here that we can be confident. Now, what is the difference? He's talking about the life on earth, looking forward to the life in heaven. Okay? What makes the difference between those who remain faithful? Look at verse 7. What does it say?
We walk by faith.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? What does that mean? What does that mean? What is faith? What is faith?
Believing.
What?
Believing.
Okay, it's believing. Where does it come from? Where does your faith come from?
The knowledge that we have.
The knowledge that we have. Okay? Never understand that. Faith is not just some lightning bolt that comes down from God. It's something that you believe. It's something that you learn from the facts. Okay? And the more you study, the more you learn, okay, the more you accept the truth, the stronger your faith comes. Okay. Have you ever prayed to God, God, give me faith? I wonder what He would say. What do you think He'd tell us? Yeah, you're not going to get it by osmosis, and you're not going to get it by this, okay. You got to get your nose in the book, okay. And the more you study, the more you learn, the more your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to have those aha moments, you know, and your faith is going to grow. Okay? So that's the importance of it. And he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? It's not a, I just feel it in my heart. It's based on facts. It's based on what God has told us. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe this might help us understand a little bit better. Let's take an example here. Let's say that, call this this guy's been in prison. Maybe it's for something he had done, or maybe or hadn't done. But what do you say? It's something he's done, okay? And he's in prison for it. And for some reason, the governor or the president or somebody decides in their mind that this guy's had enough, and we're going to pardon this guy. Okay, so they write out this document. And they send it to him, and they call him in, and they give him this document, and they say, prisoner so-and-so, the governor of the state has decided to pardon you for your crimes. You're now a free man. All right? Now, follow my thinking here. Okay? He walks out of there, and somebody says to him, are you pardoned? And he says, yes, I am. And he said, well, do you feel like you're pardoned? Well, no, not really. It's hard for me to accept, you know. Well, how do you know you're pardoned then? And he said, well, I've got this piece of paper right here that tells me I'm pardoned. Okay? This is that piece of paper. This is what tells us we're pardoned. Okay? And if somebody asks you, how do you know you're pardoned? Well, because the book says so. The book says so. All right? So, let's spend the rest of our time now talking about what the book says. All right? And get the idea in our mind here, just how the Bible tells me I'm pardoned for my sins. Okay. All right. Remember we mentioned before that in the first class we talked about the idea of how, what we need to do in order to become in fellowship with God in order to receive His blood. Okay. We might say it's kind of like ask someone, how do you know you're an American citizen? And you claim to be an American citizen. Everybody's in here an American citizen, aren't we? How do you know that you're an American citizen? Okay, you've got the evidence, okay? Because that follows the laws of the land, okay? Those that are married, how do you know you are married? What? Yeah, got a marriage license. Got somebody follows you home every night, don't you? You know, yeah, you got a marriage. In other words, you follow the laws of the land. I got to think about that this morning. I said, that might not be a good example because a lot of people don't have a marriage license, you know. But still, the law says 7 years and you're considered married, you know. So there's laws that govern that, okay. So in other words, they followed the legal system, okay. That's how we can know that we're citizens in the kingdom of God, because we follow that legal system, all right. And that legal system is what's written down for us right here in this book, okay. All right. We say, you know, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but how do I know if I haven't fallen away? How do I know that I'm not accountable for some things that I have done? And, you know, and sometimes I even find myself questioning myself, you know, and says, did I really do what I was supposed to do? You know, did I really believe? Was I really baptized for the right reason? You know, a lot of times, especially younger kids will be baptized, and later on they'll begin to question, okay? And that's not bad, that's good. Because if we haven't done those things, we need to make sure that we've done them properly, okay? Never questioning, that's a good thing. But sometimes we worry about those things because we think, you know, maybe I didn't do what was right. Maybe I've done something that I shouldn't do. Okay, a good response to that is that if you're concerned about those things, okay, then you're probably okay. Now, why would I say that? Why would I say that? Yeah, your heart and your attitude are in the right place. So if you're still questioning that, that's probably the same thing you did back then. Okay, so that's a good key for us to help understand whether, you know, we're in a right relationship. Yeah. Okay. If you need to do that, then do it. Okay. But the idea is your heart and your attitude are in the right place. So that's a good key for that. So we might use that to understand. Okay. The second is that we make sure that we're doing what the Word of God teaches us to do. All right. And so if I'm concerned about it, and my answer to my questioning is no, I really shouldn't, or I didn't do the right thing, maybe I should have done something else, then get it right. Make it right. But if we're okay with that, then we've done what God's Word tells us to do. All right, let's read some passages that tell us that it's possible to fall away from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. I got it right this time because I'm looking right at it. Okay, that's good. All right. So he says there that it is possible to fall away from God. Okay. Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Okay, so I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I don't know if you have doubt in your mind of what Peter's saying there. And that's the fact that there were those who believed, okay, and they fell away, okay, and their condition is now worse than it was to start out with. How can it be any worse? You ever thought about that? I think that's exactly what he's talking about. I mean, hell is hell, you know. But can you imagine being in hell and thinking that I had this and I threw it away? throughout eternity, realizing what I'd lost. I think that's kind of what he's talking about. That's me talking, okay? All right. So it's possible then that we can fall away from our salvation. All right. But we need to remember this. The possibility does not mean probability. Okay. Just because it's possible doesn't mean I'm going to fall away. Yes, I'll continue to sin. I mean, that's what the scriptures tell us, is it not? Okay. But the idea is, where is my, what is my motive? What's my attitude? Am I thinking about those things and I'm sorry for those things and I repent of those things and ask for forgiveness? If that's the situation, then, you know, that's exactly what God tells us to do. Okay? All right. Go over to first chapter of, 1 John chapter 5. I think this is a very important passage. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1. This is a very important passage that we need to understand and keep in mind. We read it, in fact, I think we've read it just about every week and hear some of it anyway. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 6 and read down through about verse 10. You can. Go ahead.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
All right, let's look at that passage and analyze it, because it's very important. It's something we need to remember. Verse 6. If we say what? We have fellowship with God, and do what? Walk in darkness, which is the opposite. Okay, then what's the situation? You do not practice the truth. All right? That's the first scenario. Okay? Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, which means what? Walking, we talk about it all the time. We're making a conscious effort, okay? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, okay? Do I sin? Yes. Okay, so let's see what happens there. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I want you to think about something. I had someone get up one time and walk out of a class when I said this, okay? But I want you to think about it. God will forgive you of your sin even before you ask. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you don't have to ask, and that's not what I'm saying, okay? Why would I say that? Why would I say that?
Well, he forgave you.
Okay, all right.
He forgave David.
Exactly right. You remember the story with David when he sinned with Bathsheba? Okay. And he thought he had it nice and hidden over. You know, had her husband, what was his name, Uriah, had him killed. Okay, he's out of the picture. And now Bathsheba's pregnant by his with his child. And he thinks everything's okay because he's taken her for a wife. And he's had it hid from everybody except God. And so God tells Nathan, you go and talk to David and tell him what happened. Remember he went and told him that story about a guy had one little bitty lamb. Remember that story? And they babied that lamb and they slept with that lamb and that was their big pet. And some neighbors came to visit this wealthy landowner that had all kinds of sheep. And he went and got that guy's lamb and killed it and fed it to his guests. You know, and David got mad. Well, he got mad. He said, you tell me who it is, you know, and he's going to pay for it. You remember what Nathan said to him? He said, David, you're the man. Okay. And David fell on his knees and he said, Nathan, pray to God to forgive me. I want you to understand that this is what Nathan's comments were. He says, it's already done. God forgave you. How could he do that? How could he forgive somebody before they ask? Remember what we said, the walking in the light? You see, if you're walking in the light, you're trying to do what's right. That's your goal, is to do what's right. We mess up, okay? And God will forgive you because he realizes that as soon as you realize what you've done, what are you going to do? You're going to repent and you're going to ask for forgiveness. So it's almost like it's a done deal. Okay. So keep that in mind when we think about, oh my goodness, if I sin and I walk out there in the road and a bus hits me and I die before I ask for repentance, you know, I can't go to heaven. That's not the case. Okay. Because God knows your heart. He knows your attitude. He knows who you're living for. And so he will forgive you of those things because he knows that as soon as you realize what you've done, you're going to repent and ask for forgiveness. Okay? That's the kind of God we serve. Okay? So that's the God that I serve. Okay. So let's think about that now, because we can enjoy our confidence that we have salvation because God knows our hearts. Because God knows our attitude. Okay. He knows that we're wanting to serve Him. He knows that we're going to do right every opportunity that we have. But Romans says everybody sins. Okay. And we know that. We accept that. We're not perfect. That's what John said over here. Okay. But the idea is that when we realize that, we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and then we move on with our lives. And God is willing to forgive. That's what the blood of Jesus does for all of us. It covers sins that we committed back in the past. Okay, now remember before you were saved? The scripture says before that you were enemies of God. You know, but when you came to repentance, all those past sins were wiped away. All right, we understand that. But now what about the future? What about the future? Okay. Someone asked the question, do I have to go back and be baptized every time I sin? We get that question all the time out at the prison. People will come back almost on a yearly basis and say, well, I sinned, I need to be rebaptized. And you have to pull them aside and say, no, let me explain this to you. You know, and we'll pull out this passage and we explain to them the situation and their eyes just get big and they go, oh, wow, you know. And so the baptism is for that initial repentance and remission, okay. But from there on, we count on the mercy of God, the blessing of the blood of Jesus, because that blood just continually flows, you know, to cover all of those sins. And so because of that, we can understand that we have salvation. Okay? Now, there's one more key that we can understand. My life. How am I living my life? Okay? What are the evidences of growth that I show in my life? And I don't know if you remember this, but I think when we first started, I made a comment about nobody stands still. Nobody stays the same always. You're either living or you're dying. Okay? And so, as far as my Christianity is concerned, you know, when you're baptized, we're known as babes in Christ. Okay? But eventually, God expects people to grow. Okay? What are the evidences in my life that I'm growing in the faith? Can you think of any evidences that might show that a person is maturing and growing? Come on, I'm not going to answer all these questions for you. Just think a little bit. What do you display in your life that shows people that you are a maturing Christian or a mature Christian? All right, there you go. The way you treat somebody. All right. Now, before you became a Christian, if somebody came up and maybe said something bad about you or one of your kids or your wife, you know, what would you do? Yeah. You buckle up and the hair would stand up on the back of your neck, you know, and you'd give them a piece of your mind. Okay, now you're a Christian. What might be your attitude?
That's his problem.
Yeah. I'm sorry you feel that way, you know. I'm sorry you do. I have this come up sometimes when you're with somebody that you maybe not know real well, and they'll make some kind of a comment that just makes my face turn red, you know. And I think, how can somebody say that? And I want to lash out, and I have to think, wait a minute, there's nothing to be accomplished by that. You're not going to do it, you know. Might make you feel better, but it's going to build a wall. It's going to erect a wall, you know, between the two, and you'll never be able to have any kind of communication with them again. But that's the difference between a non-Christian and a Christian. Okay. Non-Christian doesn't care, you know. I'm going to get my 2 cents worth in there. I'm going to do what I want to do. What's some other ways? Give me some ideas of marks of a Christian. What do you think about when you think about a Christian that's different from someone in the world?
Discipline.
What do you mean by that? Okay, all right. You're not the first one anymore, are you? I always told Jesus first and others second. Okay. We discipline ourselves to do that. And that's not easy. Okay. Because that's a natural thing about human beings, is that we are a bunch of selfish people. Okay. When we're growing up, okay, and you see two little kids over there playing, and one little boy's got the truck or the ball, and the other kid wants it, what happens? Mine, I want it, you know. That's just a natural instinct. Or if I want a cookie, you know, what happens? Yeah, I want one. I shouldn't say this again, but at the face painting yesterday, there was a little boy that was walking by with his parents, and he saw the face painting, and he was going like this, and the mama's going, no, we don't have time. And he stomped his feet and went like this, and that went on for 20 minutes out there. And finally, she grabbed him by the hand, and the way they went, but he wanted to get his face painted, you know. So he was determined to do that. And I was sitting there shaking my head and going, boy, if I'd have done that. But see, that's mark of a Christianity. That little boy, when he should have been taught a little more, I guess, that little boy had to learn that that was not a proper attitude. You know, was there anything wrong with wanting his face painted? No, but mama obviously had to be somewhere or didn't want to do that or whatever, and he should have listened. We have to learn those character traits, okay? It's something that's not natural. The same applies as far as Christianity is concerned. There are character traits that each and every one of us have to learn that are pleasing to God that are not necessarily something that would be natural for us to do. Okay? You thought about the idea of love? Love is not really something we just naturally do. Now, normally when we think about love, we think about a sexual attraction to somebody. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We use that word love for that, and that is love as far as one of the definitions are concerned. But we've heard this over and over again. What is love?
Love chocolate, but it's not love.
Do what?
I love chocolate, but it's not love.
That's lust. Okay. What do we mean?
A concern for somebody else.
Okay. Listen, love, Christian love, agape love, has nothing to do with feelings whatsoever. Does that sound weird? Okay. It has nothing to do with feelings whatsoever. Okay. Basically, when we talk about this agape love, it is a decision that I make. Okay. Because I am who I am, because I'm a servant of God, I'm going to make the decision to show concern. What would Tom say? CRG? Concern, respect, and goodwill. He taught that out of prison because they always quote that to me. They say, "Yeah, Mr. Tom said, concern, respect, and goodwill." In other words, you put other people first. And in my mind, I'm going to show concern and goodwill and respect for everybody. Okay? Now, there's just some people it's hard to do that to, okay? But that's what I'm going to do as a Christian, okay? I'm going to make that decision. It has nothing to do with feelings. Now, feelings can come with that because I can make a friend there. You know, I can make a good compadre. It can come to something, but that comes later. Christian love is making that decision first. Okay. I'm going to decide in my heart that I'm going to do what's best for everybody. Okay. So that's part. That's a mark of Christianity. That's a mark of the fact that I'm still a saved, baptized believer because I'm trying to apply these principles to my life. Okay, now, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine Christ saying, we're going back down to Judea from Galilee, and we're going to go through Samaria. They didn't do that. They hated those Samaritans so much that they made a detour and went the long way so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. And then when he gets there, what does he do? Stops and talks to a woman who was a Samaritan. So there's 1, 2, 3 strikes right there already, you know. And it was because he was trying to teach the value of human life. He was trying to let people know that the time is coming when we don't care what nationality you are. We don't care what your skin color is. We don't care what your gender is, okay? Those things are not going to be important, okay? Those are human values. And so, yeah, he taught us a lot in those areas, and we can learn a lot from him. These things we've been talking about, once you go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, some of these things that we're talking about are listed here, And there's some other things listed there also. These are what we call the Christian graces. Okay, 1 Peter chapter, what did I say, 5? No, chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Someone want to read that for me? I'm reading the Christian graces. What, 5 through 7? Is that? Did I write them down wrong again? I think I said 1 Peter. Did I say 1 Peter? No, I didn't. I said 2 Peter, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Y'all heard me wrong. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I thought I could get away with it. 2 Peter. That's, okay, that's 2. I need to stand back there and keep my eyes out. I can't stand. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 1. Okay, now drop down to verse 10 and 11 there.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, so how can I know that I'm still saved? I'm saved, okay? If I'm adding to my Christian graces. In other words, if I'm working towards these things every day. Now, these are something we never fully achieve. You know, we said sanctification is something that we never fully achieve. We're working on it all our life. So we're working towards perfection. And the way I do this is by working on these character traits. These Christian graces, as they're called. And so Peter says, add to your life all these different things. These are some of the things that we talked about here, okay? And so if I'm doing that with my life, then that's a sign that I am still in God's good graces. Okay? I said earlier, if I ask myself the question, you know, if I'm concerned about whether I'm still under God's care, that's a sign that, you know, I'm okay. Okay? Because I'm working towards this thing. But now I need to do something positive. And that is now that I am a baptized believer, I need to grow. I need to mature. And I do that by adding these character traits to my life. Okay, over in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about what we call the fruits of the Spirit. What are those things? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, those things. Those are some more things that we can... Those are grade things that we can grade our life by. Okay, if I'm working towards those things, I'm okay. Okay, but I can grade myself on how I'm going by how am I doing. You know, how am I doing in these things? How am I doing with my love? How am I doing with my kindness? Okay. And if I'm doing these things, then yeah, that's good, but I can always do better. Okay. So it's a growth process. So, it's not wrong to question my Christian life. Okay. It's not wrong to ask, you know, am I where I need to be? That's a good thing. But just the fact that I'm questioning myself shows that I'm concerned about those things. It shows that my attitude is where it needs to be. But now I need to not just question, but now I need to do something positive. And this is the way I do that. Okay. By adding these things to my life. Okay. So, can I know? We started out asking that question. Can I know that I have salvation? How do I know? How do I know? Don't disappoint me now. Don't disappoint me. Okay. It's by my attitude because I'm concerned. Okay. And it's also my attitude because I'm striving to do the things that perfect my life in Christ. Okay. By practicing these Christian graces, by doing the things I need to do. Okay. So yes, we can know. So you can just ask yourself those questions today. If there's something that you would say no to in these ideas, then maybe you need to go back and look at what I did to become a Christian and make sure that everything's good there. And if I can answer yes to these questions that we ask, then don't worry about it. Okay? Because we have the confidence, you know, that we are in Christ and that blood continually cleanses us. What did the passage say? As long as I'm walking in the light, that blood continually cleanses us. Okay, one more quick passage here. It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I looked at it twice, so hopefully I got it right. Did you read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5? Huh? Where are you reading from? Huh? I said 1 Corinthians. There's 2 Corinthians. I still read it. Yes. That's verse 5, 2 Corinthians. See, I got a frog. Let me get right. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. I'm going to have to stand there where I can read it. 13 and verse 5, yes. There it is. Okay. Okay, there you go. Examine yourself because Christ Jesus is in you unless you fail the test. And how do you fail the test? By what? Okay, not having faith. To cease to walk. As long as I'm walking, the blood cleanses me. It cleanses me, and I need to continue to add to my faith these things that we talked about going on towards maturity. We're out of time. We've got to quit. Questions? Comments? Okay, appreciate your time.